Well, let's get rolling. Today we have the illustrious privilege of hearing from the one and only, our favorite Dr. Charles Renaud. And so, Dr. Power, as I like to call him, I officially pass the baton over to you, my friend, and take it from here.
Well, I'm dealing with Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Years ago, when I was teaching Composition 2 in a high school in California, I taught students to write 5-paragraph essays, and Psalms 103 has 5 paragraphs in it. But one of the things I told them that they needed to do is, in the first paragraph, they needed to have an introduction and a thesis statement. And that, and in the thesis statement, I suggested that they should list the main points, the 3 main points, or 4 or 5, whatever they're going to do, along in that thesis statement. And actually, David does a real good job in this psalm. So I'm going to limit myself to the first 5 verses, which are his introduction and the thesis statement, along with the main points that he makes and he supports in the rest of the psalm. This is a psalm, if I think about the voice, who's speaking. This is not David as a young man. He's past his prime, probably on the downhill slope. And who's he speaking to? Well, he starts out musing to himself, probably hoping that the Lord's also listening, or he knows that God's listening. But then he shifts from the first person to the second person in verses 3 through 5. And he's talking there, I really think, that his audience is not only his family, but Israel, and all who are going to come after him. In one sense, he's also speaking to us. But it begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And the word that hit me wasn't "my," it was "bless." Bless the Lord? How am I supposed to bless the Lord? You know, in Hebrews 7, 1 through 9, it gives us an account of Abraham's visit with Melchizedek. And he pays tithes to Melchizedek. And in verse 7, it says about, and Melchizedek blesses him. And then in verse 7, it says that now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. And I said, how can I bless God? God is the better. I'm the lesser. And I looked around and verse 13 in this psalm mentions the fact that we are God's children. And I began to consider, well, my children bless me. How is it that they bless me? Well, one, they bless me by sharing time with me. And we can bless the Lord when we share time in prayer and fellowship and meditation with him. My kids bless me when they seek my advice and my counsel. And we bless God when we seek his will and his way for our lives. My kids bless me by doing what I ask them to do. And we can bless the Lord by doing what he asked us to do. And not just doing part of it, but doing the whole thing. And my kids bless me when they use me sometimes as a model for their lives. And we bless the Lord when we use Jesus as a model for our lives. Well, my kids bless me by celebrating special days and bringing gifts to me. And obviously our tithes and offerings bless the Lord. And there are other things, but I do want to get around to finishing the first five verses of this psalm, so I don't want to spend too much time on that one aspect. But after that, I said, yes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So he's putting his whole self into serving God, into doing what God would have him to do. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now that's his thesis statement. Forget not all his benefits. And he's going to list the benefits now as he goes on. In verse 3 to say, who forgives all your iniquities. I like that term iniquity. So some of the translations will say forgives all your sins. But iniquities includes more than just, the Ten Commandments. Iniquities includes those times when God speaks to us and we don't listen. Iniquities includes those times when we sense that we are to complete a particular action and we only do part of it. And think, well, God surely didn't mean that I should do all of these things. I must not have heard right. But God still forgives us. And I suspect that David went over a lot of times in his life when he went beyond what God wanted him to do, or when he fell into sin, or when he numbered the people when he wasn't supposed to do that. He was dependent upon himself instead of God when he took a look at how many men, fighting men, he had available before he wanted to move. But you notice there that in that third verse, he changed to the second person, who forgives all your iniquities. He's not only remembering what God has done for him, but he's saying, hey, this same God that's done so much for me can do so much for you too. And I think he's asking us to also remember, not only remember what God has done for us, but to witness to others what God has done for us. Who heals all your diseases. And again, I sort of wish there was a someone I recently got a hold of who wanted to translate that, who forgives all your iniquities, and then who heals all your infirmities. Besides the poetic rhythm of that, I like that term infirmities, because it includes more than just the normal colds. Because you can have a an infirmity that is something that came from, that was a part of your inheritance. It came from your parents, your genes, your DNA. And yet God is able to heal not only the coronavirus, but also the lame foot, or the cross eye, or some of those things that are infirmities, but not sicknesses. And then he says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Remember. Now, crowns, there are at least a couple of types of crowns. One is a symbol of authority, like the king would wear. Another is like a garland of victory that an athlete might wear. Like a politician might wear, because they're not all powerful like the king might be. But whether it's a golden orb or a garland of leaves, he wants us to remember it. And how are we crowned? Why are we crowned? Why are we given authority, or what power do we have? Well, to share what he gives us, which is loving kindness and tender mercies. So here David is calling their attention to the fact that they have a responsibility, because God has given them loving kindness and tender mercies, to share that. And that's the power that we have. A power that we have given from God to touch other people, to bless other people. And when we bless other people, we are then blessing God, because we're doing what he would have us to do. Then he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Well, mouth is not a good translation, because David is obviously not talking about being hungry or needing physical sustenance. Another translation says, who satisfies your life . David the poet here is talking about the soul within, the inner person, the self that God satisfies with good, so that it is complete, so that it is at peace, so that we are perfectly amazed at what God has brought into our lives, as he was amazed at what God brought into his life. Then finally he says, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now this mature king looked at the men around him and those who were no longer around because they already had fallen in battle or fallen to one virus or another. And he was surprised that he was stronger and more healthy than they were, even though the years were taking a toll upon him. He wasn't young anymore, but he was being renewed so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, what's he talking about there? Well, some people would think, maybe it's a phoenix and a rebirth. No, that's the thing that the Jews had a belief about the eagle. They saw the eagle in the in its annual time of molting reach a point where the old feathers weren't working very well. And then the new feathers came out. The old feathers fell off and the new feathers came out. And the eagle then soared to new heights again. It was an annual thing, happened every year. Well, maybe we don't have our youth, our spiritual youth renewed every year. But there are periods of time when we reach the point where we need a fresh anointing. We need God to become real again for us because we've sort of wandered off a bit. And that's what he's talking about here, that God renews us, revitalizes us, revives us so that we can soar to new heights. And regardless of how old the king was when he wrote these lines, he felt there were times when he was renewed, when he could serve the Lord with power and majesty. And he was amazed at the difference that he saw in what God was doing in his life and what he saw in others who were not following God closely. And so he's calling on Israel, on his sons and daughters and family, and on us to be revived, to put off the old and put on the new and soar again. And that's simile of the eagle and the molting is like the one in Isaiah 40:31, which uses the same simile. And it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I challenge you. Run and not be weary. Walk and don't faint. That's all I've got. Anybody else? Something?
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Very, very powerful, as always. So let's get some feedback here. Let's hear some responses. What was hitting you as Dr. Charles was talking? What's the Lord saying today? Go for it.
Well, I just loved that picture of the molting eagle. You know, that it's getting tired and, you know, its wings are getting kind of, you know, ugly and bedraggled, and then the whole molting process, and then it comes out anew. And I never looked at it like that before. And that is beautiful. I mean, I really thank you for that. It's like, it's such a great picture of what is happening. And so,
That's a great picture of what God does to us when we turn to Him and say, hey, we need a fresh
energy. Yeah, I'm going to be thinking about that all day. So thank you.
Anybody else?
I really liked what you described to you, the word blessed as it applied to how your children and you interact. That was just a very beautiful description of what it looks like when another blesses you, especially your children. And so, you know, you extend that to your relationship with the Lord. And just everything that you said, when they ask my opinion, when they take my advice, when they bring me a gift on a special day, just all those, that made my heart cry. I just loved that. That was very, just something I had never thought about in terms of my relationship with Him and even my own children. Like, I just realized, wow, I'm a blessed woman. My kids really love me. Anyways, I really appreciate that perspective, Charles. So thank you.
Well, it was something that came to me recently, and I've memorized these first five verses a long time ago, and oftentimes I ran right through those first two verses. That's not the heart of the thing. And then I don't know, maybe it was the Holy Spirit, but something opened up my mind to and said, stop, you're going too fast. Look what's here. Somebody else?
Yeah, I'll share. I'm kind of the same with Denise. I love how you kind of just started that off in sharing of how can I bless God, and just kind of comparing that to that relationship that like children and parent have. And I know, like, as a daughter, like, you want your parents to be proud of you. And I think with any kids, you know, you want to make them proud, and you want them to know that you love them and that they love you. And it's interesting because you're kind of sharing this list of spending time with Him and seeking His advice and going, doing what He's called you to do. And you kind of think, like, these aren't very difficult, right? Like, it's a pretty simple list. And for those of you who know me, I like lists of like, oh, I can do these things. But then you look at it and like on the flip side, like how difficult it is as well of like spending time with them. Like, we get wrapped up with, you know, like the everyday, you know, busy, not maybe at this moment, but, you know, throughout our life and seeking Him for advice. We often, you know, seek other people's opinions versus seeking Him and doing what He calls us to do. Like, we become fearful of stepping out into the unknown of where He calls us. Maybe looking to other people's lives to model versus Jesus's, or maybe not you know, tithing and giving offerings, because we feel like, you know, we need that security of the money in the bank. So as much as it, I just had this like moment of like how easy the list looks of like, this is manageable, but that battle that you have on like a regular basis of doing these things. And just, it's just an interesting thought for me just to kind of ponder of that. And the enemy definitely works his, you know, strategy to keep you from doing these things, which is that amazing relationship and blessing between a son and a daughter of the King. So thank you. I really enjoyed that.
No, you know, it is difficult sometimes to support your parents. When my son was started junior high school, I was the assistant principal of the junior senior high school that he went to. So it was my responsibility to maintain discipline. There were a number of kids who got suspended and either turned over to the police for drug use on school grounds or something like that. And they had bad things to say about me. And it would have been easy for him not to have defended me, to have slunk away. But he had a way of not giving in to that attack. And yeah, Satan will attack us when we're trying to defend the Lord in the society in which we live today. Because there's just a lot of anti-Jesus, anti-God, anti-faith, anti-Christian stuff floating around us. In our associations that we have from day to day and on the internet and Facebook and Twitter and wherever you go. I was reading a book on the attack on Christianity in the United States by Horowitz, it is a planned attack on our faith by a sizable portion of our society. So yeah, it looks easy. It isn't necessarily so. Thank you.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Well, first off, when you said that's all, Teresa's over here to my right side, you can't see her, and she giggled and said, yeah, right, that's all. I just like how you know, David just takes simple things that we take for granted, and then you can just dial so much deeper into them, just like you said. You know, because these are things that we know. We praise the Lord. We don't forget his benefits, and yet you took that deeper. He forgives us of all of our sins or inequities. You took that deeper and heals all our diseases and infirmaries. So you were able to show how a simple line item of four or five sentences, words can be so much more than what it is. So it's like you were able to take the surface and dig underneath the surface and really hone in on what the author's trying to say and how it does affect us on a day-to-day basis if we just think about the depth of that. So I want to thank you because you did a very good job of allowing us to understand and be reminded that what seems so simple can be so enriching and enlightening.
Thank you. One of the things that I the Lord laid on me was there are all kinds of psalms that begin with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But this one doesn't. It begins with bless. And praising the Lord is verbalization, a proclamation, but blessing the Lord is a doing thing. And I think that this particular psalm is calling for action beyond just praise. So I think it's a step beyond praise to putting your faith to action, putting your relationship to the test. Thank you.
Tammy.
Well, so actually, I guess it seemed like the conversation was moving somewhere else, so I wasn't going to say anything, but it kind of goes back to that blessing being an action. So Charles kind of wrapped it back around again, which is perfect. But I was thinking that maybe because it's so hard, that's why it blesses him.
Exactly.
Like it's because it's a sacrifice. It's because it's hard. It's because it's an action. It's something we have to do, that we have to make the time. We have to, you know, put in the effort. That's why it blesses him so much. Because I think about, like I was thinking about it with my kids. I mean, I loved everything they've ever done for me, but now that they have their own children, for them to take the time to call me, I know that it's a sacrifice. They're sacrificing their own personal time, that very little bit of personal time that they get, they're sacrificing it to talk to me, and it means even more. And so I think that that's maybe like what Alicia was saying too, about how hard it is, but that's part of what blesses him.
I agree with you 100%. I think that, what's it, cheap grace? That's a term that you've heard. What does cheap grace cover? I really think that what makes a difference in one's life is what they're willing to sacrifice.
I love the eagle. I think I'm going to be thinking about that all day. It's just this morning I look up in the clouds and I see like a picture that looks like a bird flying, and I take a picture and a bird gets in this view, and it's just this amazing thing. And you know, my brother and I, we always talk about how God uses animals. The way he talks through us, birds, ravens, hawks, we're like cranes. I mean, it's just, you know, the beauty of the majestic of just that creature flying in the heavens and the sky. So that I was thinking about that all day. And also just blessing the Lord. That resonates me, how I will bless my parents, how I make them feel that. Do you think that way? You know, and I think yesterday, the woman that said, the last woman to speak, I can't remember her name, but she just says, you know, I'm in love, I'm a child of God.
Joy.
And all day yesterday, I just said, that's right. None of this matters. That's all that matters. I'm a child of God. Regardless of what my life is like on this earth, I'm not of this place. And like, I've never thought of that that way, the simplicity and the beauty of that. And so like yesterday, I was thinking about that all day. And this morning, the thing with the eagle, it's just every, you know, I was a little late this morning, but thank God I was able to get in. And just these little things that we think about mid the day, it just sticks with you. And it's, that is a blessing from the Lord, you know, that we get this from each other. So thank you for that. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I really liked the part about where is it? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I think you know, I looked at and I interpret that to being you know, you gotta have the love that Jesus had for everyone. And you gotta have that same type of mercy, and that mercy and forgiveness of people. You know, you can't hold things because Jesus didn't do that, you know, and that's something that, you know, I know a lot of people have issues with, but we just, you know, as believers, we got to have the same love as Jesus had and just not hold anything against anybody, not treat anybody any differently. You know, my dad, mine and Steve's dad, he's a lifetime copper. You know, he was a chief. And, you know, two things he always taught me, Steve, was, you know, always treat everybody the way you want to be treated and show respect to everybody. But even more so, love, the love that Jesus shared. And then, you know, the eagle thing really stood out to me, Mr. Charles, because, you know, my sister called me the other day and she told me, hey, I have this dream about eagles. And I go, what dream? She goes, it was an eagle, and the eagle was carrying two olives, and he was flying high up into the sky. So, you know, man, I looked into that, and what you're saying here today, I take it like we're God's soaring eagles. We're his warriors, and we soar above. The eagle flies higher than any other bird. Mm-hmm. Nothing can compare to the eagle. So, very nice. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. I I think it's really important that we believe that people can change, and that your greatest enemy may become your closest friend if God touches them. And I've seen that happen. When I was principal, I had a shop teacher who was antagonistic and behind my back talked bad about me and came up with all kinds of things to make my life difficult. When he went to a men's retreat, and I was a spiritual director for the retreat, but I made sure that he was away from me, that other people were dealing with him for the whole time. The retreat was over, and Monday morning we went back to school. And as my secretary was at the door, opening the door to the main office area, this guy came up and gave me a big hug. God had touched him. And from that point on, he and I were the best of friends. Wow, something strange happened with me here. Okay, I'm back. Anybody else?
John Andrews, calling you out, my friend.
Yeah, I rather liked the direction that you were taking earlier with the distinction between praise and bless, and the fact that to bless God requires, you know, some kind of sacrifice. I was thinking of Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he says that we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's, you know, really our act of worship. And by that, I think he means to say that, you know, we offer our lives to God. It's one thing to praise God with our lips, which obviously I think he loves that. And I think that that's a legitimate expression. But I think that more importantly, especially when I look at that in the context of this psalm, is that our lives be devoted, or the trajectory of our lives should be moving more and more towards him, and embracing our creative purpose individually and then collectively. And I particularly like how he reminds us, starting in verse 10, well, let's back up in verse 8, that the Lord's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. In verse 10, for he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And then, as you pointed out, Charles, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And of course, we know that fearing God is not being afraid of God, but rather respecting God, or acknowledging his sovereignty. And I like how, you know, I can't find it right now, but there seems to be an implication, or he says, for those who remember his law, and I remember statutes. Yeah. I can't quite find it right now, but, you know, I'm thinking of when I hear the word law or any derivative of that, I think of the Torah and the fact that for the Hebrews, you know, in a Hebraic worldview, the word Torah was precisely translated as instruction or teaching, and it was related to the verb yara, which means to aim or point or shoot an arrow, or having a sense of guidance or a sense of trajectory. And so my take on this psalm, and it's a beautiful psalm, Charles, is that it's a reminder you know, that God is deserving of our praise. He's deserving of our worship. He's deserving of us giving our very lives for him. And he doesn't look at our human frailties and our sins as prohibitives to moving forward in our relationship with him, but rather it's the trajectory of our lives as we continue to put him in its proper place as our sovereign creator and our loving and compassionate father. And I think that's a really nice reminder for all of us as we move forward, that he loves us. He doesn't count our sins against us. I'm so grateful for that. I'd be out of the game if that were true. But from everlasting, verse 17, to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a great psalm, and it'd be great if somebody finished some of that up. That's a really beautiful psalm.
Well, and you see him coming back to the same things that he gave in as the central idea in the first paragraph, the first five verses, as he comes back to say that the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in mercy, and he forgives us sins, just over and over, you can put a great deal of what he says in the rest of the psalm into an extrapolation from what he said at the first, and so it is there's a unity in the psalm that's a good measure of
Charles, when I did my little psalm one, which was like six verses, I found the same. In fact, I meant to say it when I shared that the first statement was the same as the last statement. It was like the introductory paragraph or sentence was the same as the conclusion of. They're kind of like bookends it, you know.
The literary term for that is an envelope technique.
What is it?
An envelope technique.
Okay, yeah.
You fold it over, and the flap that closes it touches the flap that is permanent on the backside of the envelope. So, this one ends up at the end again saying, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord."
As he my soul, yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. Hey, I'm just curious, what translation were you using?
New King James.
Okay, because ours is the NIV and it says praise and bless. Again, I like that. I found the passage that refers, it's verse 18, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. And I love that word covenant. I think we need to be reminded of that because I think the same covenant call to fidelity is the same for us in the New Testament, you know, or Second Temple period that it is for those in the Old Testament. In other words, yeah, we're covered by grace, you know, through the shed blood of Jesus, but there's still that covenant arrangement with us. That makes sense? We're still in covenant with God, right?
Oh, yeah. Jesus said,
and so I think
covenant, I get you, but it is an expansion of the old covenant.
It may be an expansion, but the same call to covenant loyalty, I think, is still in place. You know, I don't think you can read places like Hebrews 10:26. You know, like our that covenant relationship is still in place, the same as it was in the Old Testament. We have access to the Father. We don't need to go through all the temple cult gyrations they went through. We don't have to sacrifice animals. The sacrifice has been done, but he still calls us to covenant.
We're still God's people, God's special people.
Yeah.
There's a relationship with him and we don't go through the circumcision sort of thing, but at the same time, we had to have a circumcision of heart. Okay. Hey, we're going to run out of time here.
All right, guys, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for your feedback and reflections, guys. Great stuff. And Charles, thank you so much, sir. That was beautiful. Obviously, a good 50-minute discussion out of it. That means that people were stimulated around God's word. So appreciate that. And I'll just close with a quick blessing of you, sir, and just want to thank you that I believe you embody Psalm 103:5 as one who models that you, as you walk faithfully with the Lord, it's evident that he satisfies you with good and your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'll never forget the first time I saw you pray for somebody and then you just turned around and you had a laugh and a smile of joy on your face that I'm like, who is this guy? And what is this joy as he's power praying up people? And it just continues. It's who you are. It's genuine. And there's just a great deal of childlike, joyful vitality and vibrancy that is in you and upon you in the midst of and at the same time, great spiritual authority and power. And so that's a beautiful combination. And I think exactly what this verse is meant to look like in a life. So thank you for modeling that for us.
Wow.
Thank you, Charles.
My wife told me to say that.
Well, I'm speechless.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm not usually speechless.
But she loves you too. She'd say the same if she were here.
Yeah. Well, I love
he's blessing you.
Amen.
There it is. All right, friends. Well, that's a good week of devotions, and we'll be back for the second half of our Elevation Ministry Board next week. So have a great Friday, and we'll see you guys soon.